the powers that be have themselves a big problem because discussion surrounding the Mandela effect and Bible changes just won't go away. They tried throwing Vincent Rhodes and his 60,000 subscribers at the problem. All it did was exacerbate things for them. Next, they throw Hugo Talks into the disinformation ring with his 140,000 subscribers. He tries false equivocation, cherry picking, muddying the waters with convoluted arguments. None of it's going to work. We're going to expose it all. Stay tuned. We have his video and my comments surrounding that video coming up. Hi, this is the Nothing Is As It Seems podcast. This is episode 9. My name is Mark. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. Today, we're analyzing the recent hit piece on the Mandela effect done by Hugo Talks. Let's get right into it without further ado. Here we go.
This video, I'm going to be talking about what I think is one of the stupidest hoaxes of recent times. And what's interesting is it shows you that even though it may not seem like so at the beginning, the whole thing has been started, created, and grown in order to target the Word of God.
Now, this may seem innocuous, but it's going to become important later on. Remember what he said here. He said the whole thing was started to target the Word of God.
It was all started in order to go finally after Scripture. It's part of the primary agenda to undermine the Word of God, to cast doubt into people's minds, which is, like I said in a previous video, that is the agenda which is behind all propaganda. It's all to make people turn away, ignore, or undermine the Word of God. It's an antichrist agenda, and it's multi-layered, and it's everywhere.
Two things, and they're both important. The first is there's a false equivocation here. He's equating the Scripture of God to be synonymous with the Word of God. He's talking about the agenda to undermine the Word of God. And I agree with that because the Word of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. According to John 1, in the beginning was the Word, the Greek word, logos, for word. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. What that scripture does not say is in the beginning was the graphe, which is the word for scripture. So they are not the same thing. That's number one. Number two, Hugo has elected to up the ante and turn up the volume of his accusation by throwing out the term antichrist agenda. Well, there's a problem with that, because those in Hugo's camp are the ones defending things like nursing fathers, or gird about the paps with a golden girdle, or breastfeeding men in the Bible. Hugo is probably not going to admit to that. But the fact of the matter is, because he has to control the narrative and refuses to come on the show or refuses to have an intelligent discussion with anyone who disagrees with him, we really don't know, do we?
And you'll notice that most of them are silly things, silly, inconsequential things. Like, the Looney Tunes being spelt T-O-O-N-S or T-U-N-E-S, or the Forrest Gump, the movie. And the quote from it, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. When the character actually says in the movie, life was like a box of chocolates, what happens is that something that is popular, like that movie, people end up re-saying the phrase. It's then said on TV in comedy sketches. It gets spread around, yet it's repeated slightly incorrectly at some point. A bit like what they call Chinese whispers. A situation in which a piece of information is passed from one person to the next and it's changed slightly or distorted over time. And what ends up is that the slightly incorrect version becomes the accepted norm.
Now, wait a second. Now, didn't he say that the whole thing was a grand scheme started to attack the Word of God? Now he's saying that the whole thing was just some misunderstanding. It was like a game of telephone. It was this innocent mistake made by one guy, and it was perpetrated throughout the internet, and now it's become the accepted norm. Hugo really needs to make up his mind, or at least clarify. Was this started as an attack on the Word of God, or was it started as an innocent mistake?
And people get used to it. Then they're surprised when looking back that it's not exactly the way they think it was. It's really that simple. Yet you have these so-called influencers online who will spread around stuff like this, but then claim it's something to do with the paranormal, or state that things have been supernaturally changed, yeah? Or say something like, CERN is open to time portal, and these silly inconsequential things have been altered slightly forever.
You know, regardless of whether Hugo is right or wrong about this, I doubt the people that have lost their marriages and families are as cavalier and as jocular as he is about this subject.
You just collectively remembered it incorrect, which was facilitated by the images of the robot being all gold on posters and the toys, etc. Okay? And while you may see this thing and say, oh, that's weird, but it's just a silly thing, what's the big deal? Well, behind these numerous online accounts that push this type of nonsense, there is a sinister agenda behind it, because all of this is pushed, in my opinion, in order for the end goal, which was to start using the Mandela effect, supernatural psyop, to mess with people's heads and the Word of God.
Couple things here. The first, I had a ton of feedback on. The Mandela effect is not necessarily the same thing as the Bible changes. Okay, the second thing, he's talking about the robot calf, which is now silver, of C-3PO from Star Wars. And he's acknowledging the plethora of residual evidence, which even according to him includes posters and cards and toys and things of that nature. But then he's saying that it's completely unreasonable for people like me to take the evidence that we have that these things never existed and claim that it's of anything of any significance. And the problem here, it's not just C-3PO's calf. There's 100 or hundreds or thousands of these things. And some of them aren't a silly thing, as he said, like changes to the body or changes to geography or changes to history itself. And he's essentially making the argument that having the audacity to observe what's right in front of us and claim that it means anything, well, how dare we do that? We're the ones causing the problem, right?
So now you have all of these agents online carrying on saying the Bible, and of course it has to be the King James Bible as well, saying, oh, the Bible is under attack from supernatural forces. It's being changed by the Mandela effect. And of course the consequence being, oh, now you can't trust anything that's in the Bible now because it's been supernaturally changed, don't you know? It's complete and utter tosh. And in my opinion, all of this whole internet thing called the Mandela effect was created, and it was pushed using popular culture, something popular like movies and music, etc., to gain interest early on. All of this was started from day one in order to do this to the Bible. That was the goal from the beginning.
No, that's not what he said earlier. He said it was like a game of telephone. One guy, he wrote a speech, or he did a poster, or he sang a song, and it spread like wildfire, and now everybody misremembers because of that one guy. Not quite the same thing as he's saying here, though.
Modern Christianity has been pushing the idea of the lion and the lamb with images in Christian books and so forth, pushing the correct image of that Isaiah 11:6, and this has created a collective false memory. It also shows that people are easily misled and don't read scripture. You can see old artwork. I mean, even this is incorrect scripture. This book, for example. Things like this continue to propagate a false memory. This is why people collectively think it's the lion lays down with the lamb, because over the decades, the imagery has been pushed. Say, like the title of this old movie. I mean, another thing that these charlatans claim is that the Bible has been supernaturally changed by Satan, and every Bible has been changed. If you get a Bible from 1700, then that would also be magically altered. It's changed history. It's changed every Bible, right? Yeah, well, if that's so, why hasn't it changed these images that I've picked up on Google? Why hasn't it changed the lion into a wolf in these images? If reality has been altered and changed or shifted, wouldn't these images have also changed? Of course they would, but they haven't. No, because it's a load of rubbish, and it's always been the wolf lays down or dwells with the lamb.
There's a lot here. I think just in a big picture metagame, it's finally gotten to the point where the residual evidence is so extensive that instead of just denying it, now they're starting to try to get out ahead of it and acknowledge it and discredit it. So he's acknowledging that this residual evidence for the lion and the lamb exists, and he's even acknowledging the extent of it with movies that are named the lion and the lamb, paintings, and so forth and so on. He even says modern Christianity has been pushing the idea of the lion and the lamb. What? And then, of course, he tries to use that residual evidence to discredit the whole thing, claiming that the fact that the residual evidence exists proves that the Mandela effect is a hoax, or in this case, the Bible changes is a hoax. But here's the bottom line. He can make it as convoluted as he wants, but factually, there is a ton of residual evidence to prove that there's something serious going on here. And it's not just for Isaiah 11:6. We're talking hundreds, if not thousands, of scriptures. The notion that the proper response to seeing the Bible changes and the significant residual evidence that surrounds them is to shut up is beyond the pale. And boy, that does not look good for the credibility of Hugo Talks.
So here we see a painting as well by Edward Hicks. This painting was done in 1833, which shows the Isaiah 11:6 correctly. As you can see, there is a wolf lying down with the lamb. It's not a lion. This artist was paying attention when he did his painting. He wasn't getting distracted by his black mirror device. This is back in 1833. So you can clearly see he has the wolf dwelling with the lamb and the lion with the calf, yeah, and so forth. 1833. That's before someone at some point did a picture with the lion and the lamb who was reading scripture incorrectly, and then that image and the concept got copied by others and duplicated, and it then created this collective false memory which we now find charlatans online use to try and sow doubt and confusion into people over the word of God. And you remember this image I showed earlier? This, the image, is an actual painting by a person called William Strutt. This is the same scene. It's about the Isaiah verse again. And this was painted in 1896. But he's got it wrong. And this is probably where the root or the rot set in of this particular false collective memory of the lion laying down with the lamb started.
Hugo is now making an argument that would be hilarious if the subject wasn't so serious, that this individual who drew this painting back in the 1800s was misreading, not misremembering, they were misreading scripture. And they started this whole thing where preachers are preaching the lion and the lamb and books and concordances and literature and songs and movies, etc., etc. Except Hugo had said earlier that the whole thing was started in order to discredit or to undermine the word of God. And what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to completely discount all of the evidence that it was once the lion and the lamb, because why? Because Hugo says so. Because Hugo says that this person was reading the scripture. And not only that, we're supposed to discount or we're supposed to toss aside all the other residual evidence of all the other scriptures that have been changed, not just one, not just 10, not just 100, but hundreds, if not thousands. And if all that weren't enough, we're supposed to take the scriptures that appear to have been changed, that are now contrary to the very character of God, and set those aside. Just completely ignore them.
As the scriptures are changing, just as it was prophesied in Amos 8, 11, 12. It doesn't say that at all. That's completely out of context. There's nothing there about the Bible changing. Then goes on to give these examples. The crippled man to pick up his mat and walk it now has been supernaturally changed to couch. And they didn't even have couches till the latter 1800s. Fuse, that was the man's last name who made the sofa. There is corn all over the scriptures, and corn didn't come into being corn until the early 1800s. Before that, it was called maize, and that came from the Americas and didn't exist in the Middle East until way later. Right? The word couch, right? Not used until 1800s is absolute nonsense. The English poet and author Geoffrey Chaucer referred to a couch as a place to sleep in his work. In 1385, the word couch was used a good 300 years before the 1611 King James. So that allegation is completely false. And then corn, he claims corn didn't come into being until the 1800s, or at least I think he means the word corn. Before that, it was called maize. No. It says here corn was used in England as far back as 888. So that would be a good 800 years before the King James Bible. And then technically, in print, the earliest known use of the noun corn is in the Old English period pre-1150, still 500 years before the King James was published. Right? In America, they didn't use the term corn until the late 1600s. But hello, the King James translation wasn't done in America. It's an English translation. So this comment is full of lies and crafty lies in order to sow doubt. They don't expect people to look into their claims. They just hope they raise doubt in someone's mind somewhere. It's about undermining the word of God. They are preying on the easily misled and the easily influenced.
As much as he's trying to minimize it and he's trying to accuse those that are on top of this of being operatives, ridiculous, by the way, and he tries to ridicule those that are paying attention, but there's still a tacit acknowledgement that there's more to this than just one verse, Isaiah 11:6. Because there have been many other things that have been called into question. He mentions a couple of them. Corn, couch has certainly been called into question. I've called into question suburbs and the changing of names, like the prophet Jeremiah being changed to Jeremy and Messiah being changed to Messias, among many other name changes. So the point of the matter is he can't hide the fact that this is bigger than just one verse.
And here you can see where it originates, right? It's called the false memory phenomenon, brought to you by the likes of Sigmund Freud. Freud, or fraud, who was, of course, anti-God, considered it a fairy tale, the Bible. Freud was the founder of psychoanalysis. And the principal tool or propaganda agent whose books went on to influence and screw with the minds of the public by using his psychobabble. Modern psychiatry has been used by evil parties for years to send people away who don't cooperate or fit the mold. Right? The founder of Netflix, Mark Randolph, whose great-grandparent was Sigmund Freud and great-uncle was Edward Bernays, who they called a father of modern propaganda. That's Netflix for you. So you know you can see what that's all about. Look, here we see false memory phenomenon. In psychology, a false memory is a phenomenon where someone recalls something that did not actually happen or recalls it differently from the way it actually happened. Suggestibility, now this is the thing, suggestibility, activation of associated information, the incorporation of misinformation and source misattribution have been suggested to be several mechanisms underlying a variety of types of false memory. This is what some of these influencers are trying to do by pushing this rubbish around.
Now let's break this down. Sigmund Freud brought us the false memory phenomenon, which is essentially what Hugo Talks is saying, that people had suggestions put into their head, and because of those suggestions, they remember falsely. And because of that, because Sigmund Freud agrees with Hugo, and because Sigmund Freud was godless, then therefore Hugo is correct about his assertion that the Mandela effect is a hoax. I mean, you are just throwing stuff at the wall, making it as convoluted as you possibly can, and hoping it sticks.
He goes on to say, Freud was fascinated with memory and all the ways it could be understood, used, and manipulated. And these people online are attempting to manipulate collective false memories to make you think something supernatural has happened when it hasn't, in order to sow seeds of doubt and undermine scripture, undermine the word of God, because the battle behind all of this, you see, is against the word of God.
You want to see what a red herring argument looks like? Here it is. Because Freud, who was godless, was fascinated with memory and the manipulation of memory, and people who are looking into the Mandela effect and coming to the truth of it are also fascinated with memory, some of them apparently, then therefore the Mandela effect is a hoax. This is similar to the Fiona Broom play, and I'll just summarize. Because Fiona Broom said it was true, and because Fiona Broom invented it, therefore she owns it, therefore it must be a lie. Because Sigmund Freud is associated with this, even though he's really not associated with it, that's the crazy thing, but we'll just pretend that he's associated with it, and because Sigmund Freud is godless, therefore the Mandela effect is a hoax.
These people try and tell you it's supernaturally changed by Satan, when you know God told you in scripture his word would be preserved for generation after generation until the end. As it states, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Psalms 12:6-7.
Well, I'm glad he brought that up. Let's take a look at Psalm 12 in context. We're not going to just pull one verse out of there. It only has 8 verses in the psalm. We'll look at the first 7 verses. Verse 1, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Verse 2, important verse, they speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. Who is the person with the flattering lips? That's the Antichrist spirit, the adulteress, the hunter, patterned after Nimrod in Genesis 11 and Esau, Jacob's brother. Verse 3, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, verse 4, who have said, with our tongue will we prevail, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us. Pause. Are we talking about the Bible? Are we talking about scripture here? Or are we talking about the Lord protecting his people from the Antichrist spirit, from those that represent the enemy? Verse 5, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. Let me read that last part. I, speaking about the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. In other words, I will set my people in safety from those that represent the enemy. Those are those that puffeth at him, my people. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Verse 7, thou shalt keep them. Who is them? That's us. O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Not talking about the Bible, not talking about the scripture, absolutely not saying what Hugo claims it's saying. And you know what would be nice? If one of these guys who has come out publicly and claimed that the Bible changes are not happening would be willing to have a discussion with someone who's not going to parrot the company line and agree with everything they say. Whether it's Hugo Talks or Vincent Rhodes or Dean Odle or Now You See TV or one of the many others who have taken a public stance on this, how come they have to control the narrative and only discuss it with people who will nod their head yes? And I would like to think that one of these guys would have the integrity, especially when their own subscribers and the people that they're supposed to be serving have so many questions and so many doubts. If they're so right about this, then why can't they come out of the shadows and have a public discussion? Yeah, I'm calling you out. So contact me at nothingisasitseemspodcast@gmail.com. We'll set up a time to speak. As I've said before, it can be as respectful as you want it to be. This concludes episode 9. Thank you for watching. Please like, subscribe, comment, share. Your feedback is always welcome, even negative feedback. Please leave a review in Apple Podcasts. Those really do help. Next week, we have a special guest coming in to discuss their experience in the music industry, a subject that does not get covered nearly enough, in my opinion, at least with the depth and nuance that I intend to cover it. Thank you again for tuning in. We will see you next week.